Well, good morning to you all. We just want to thank God for you and bless our Lord. Father God, we just want to praise you for what you have already accomplished this morning in our lives by the Holy Spirit as we honor Jesus, our Lord. Continue to do so through all of us. Anoint every thought and word, every deed, every purpose to your glory. Amen. Well, I feel like God has divinely interrupted some of the teaching that I wanted to bring this morning, which is fine with me. I love it. I absolutely love it when God interferes with us and we get to interact with him. This morning, there seemed to be a sense that people were longing to know exactly their identity with God. And I believe that that happens from time to time, that we all want to have a reality check with our relationship with the Lord. If you don't have that, then you don't have a good relationship at all. You can't take God for granted, and certainly he's not going to take you for granted. And as a matter of custom with me, I set aside certain times in my life when I get before God and ask personal questions. There's a reason for that. There are four things that I understand as a leader, which I think is also good for all people, but especially for leaders, people in fivefold ministry, that they should do. And they surround the word or the phrase, take heed. And the scriptures in the New Testament give us a number of take heeds. And the first one that I always pay attention to is take heed unto yourself. This is what the Apostle Paul said to the Ephesian elders. And it's a good, good word because people in ministry sometimes forget that they need to pay attention to their own life, their own walk, who they are. Take heed unto yourself. Are you walking in purity? Is there an issue in your life you haven't addressed? Are you open and accountable? Are you submitted first of all to God? Do you think too highly of yourself? Are you too important? Has pride got in the way? Are you insecure about something? Something troubling you? All these things are essential questions that all leaders should ask from time to time. Maybe you don't like to hear that. Maybe you think leaders come out of the box pure and perfect, but they don't. They're Christians first and foremost, but they are given a special grace of God. When Jesus ascended, he sent back himself in the Spirit and called certain people to be apostles and prophets and pastors, teachers, and evangelists. That doesn't make them perfect. It makes them gifted. And there's a difference. And so I take time from time to time to spend personal time in reflection and talking to God. And I do ask him questions. One of the questions I asked God not too long ago was, Lord, who am I to you? Meaning, share with me what your thoughts are towards me. Have you ever asked God that? What do you think of me, Lord? How do you see me? What can you say to me? What is it I should know? And the answer came back from the Lord. Everything that I say in Scripture about you is everything I think about you. Isn't that a great answer? That everything I've ever recorded for you to know is everything I think about you. That's who you are. That's what you are. And that's who you are to me. And I tell you why, that just washes over your soul. It all of a sudden challenges you to rethink yourself. And all the insecurities, doubts, fears, wonders, and things of that nature disappear. Because God is saying, there is every word I've ever said about you is everything I think about you. Just read the scriptures and read them personally. Don't read them as if you're studying dogma, doctrine, and just learning things. Find out that the word that I sent to you is personal. I'm sending it right into your heart. I love that. The second take heed that is very important for leaders is to take heed into the doctrine that they teach. Nobody knows everything. Everybody is still learning. But the fivefold ministry in particular have a responsibility to watch over what they teach because the effect of their teaching is powerful in either a positive or a negative way. And we help shape the thought life and the behavior of people by the things that we teach. So we cannot be casual about it. We cannot be flippant. Nor can we come to a place where we say, I know this, I got this. But there must be a constant investigation of what we know. I don't know how better to say it than to repeat your studies. Go over the things that you have learned, question them, and open up to God the things that you don't know, and learn from other leaders and glean and be taught and keep a humble heart before the Lord. And this is the way you're going to grow. I have readdressed some of the teachings that I've had over the years and said, it was good, but it wasn't perfect. Here's something better that God has shown me. And that's very important to us. If we get locked into what we think we know is the complete and total picture, we make a serious mistake. The third take heed is to take heed unto the flock that God has made us overseers over. It's different for different fivefold people, meaning the apostle thinks about the body of Christ differently than the pastor. And that's because the nature of their gifting is different. I'm not a pastor, as you know. I'm an apostle. So I view you in a different way than a pastor would, who wants to get the burrs off you and check how you feel and all these other things, which is absolutely essential. There are no better fivefold gifts. One is as important as the next. And so how we look at the body of Christ is very important. All of us are shepherds in some respect. None of us are not shepherds, but all of us shepherd differently. And it's important to keep ourselves clean and clear about how we perceive the body and how we want to minister to it. You are not people who are becoming my audience that I can talk to. You're not my followers. You follow this? You're the purchase of God. You're the body of Christ, the living organism on the face of the earth that carries the kingdom into the world. Every one of us is a member of an entity called the body of Christ, alive, every member functioning, supporting, supplying, equipping, and building up one another until we come to that place where we have achieved what God wants, a standard that reaches the stature, the measure, the fullness of Christ. We have a long way to go, but all of us are working towards that end. And finally, the fourth take heed is to take heed into your ministry, which is how do you minister? How do we minister to one another? What is our position? What is our thought life towards each brother and sister? When we see them, what goes through our minds? Do we use one another as objects of our ministry? I've had people in the past I've had to rebuke who used the sheep to conduct their ministry. Do you know what that means? It means that they saw people as an opportunity to conduct their ministry, and I've had to rebuke them for it. You don't use people. You serve them. We serve one another with love and honor and integrity. And our gifts for you are for you and not for us. They are not to build us up and make us feel arrogant and proud and esteem ourselves better than others, but to be servants in great humility, to see that you become everything that Jesus Christ wants you to be. So those four take heeds, I just felt to share them with you this morning, because while they apply to leaders, they're also wonderful things for all of us to consider in how we relate to God and to the body of Christ. Who do you say I am? It's a big question. Lord, what do you think of me? There was a scripture that God led me to in 1 Corinthians 15:10, where Paul said, I am who I am by the grace of God. Everything I am is because of what God has made me to be. Everything that you are is exactly because of what God has made you to be. And there's no end to what he wants to do in you and what he wants to make of you and how he wants to pour his grace in you and through you. It will continue until the day you go home. His supply of grace is endless. And he will continue to improve your life and your walk and your work and your service to the body and to him by continuing to feed you with fresh oil from his life to yours. You are who you are by the grace of God. You can never make yourself something. There are no self-help or promotion programs that will make you a better person other than Jesus Christ dwelling in you. You are who you are by the grace of God. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. He will achieve in you every bit of his purpose for your life. You don't have to try hard. You don't have to really work at it. You have to surrender. You let Christ in you be everything. And his grace in you is going to change you. Amen. What is it we look for when we come together? What is our expectations for gathering? What do we think about before we get here and when we get here? If we don't have the same thoughts, we're not going to achieve the same purposes. Some, not speaking to anybody in particular here, think that coming to a meeting is a duty, an obligation, a religious commitment. But a gathering is a holy convocation. The number one thing that we do when we come here is we look for his presence. What is the point of gathering unless Christ be with us? What did Moses say? He said, unless your presence go with us, we can't go up. We can't go anywhere. And the same is true about a meeting. Unless God's presence is here, what have we got? What are we doing? Who are we celebrating? Who are we honoring? Who are we praising? So we must come first and foremost for God and for his presence. That's all. We're here for you, God, first and foremost. Not exclusively, but first and foremost, we're here for God. When we get in our minds the thought of, I'm too tired, I'm this and I'm that, and I think I'll take a day off, or I've got this excuse, and we decide against meeting, we've made a poor choice. There's nothing better than the refreshing from the presence of the Lord. I was tired this morning. I felt really exhausted. Been dealing with a lot of things. I said, there isn't anything in my flesh, God, that can get me to come to this meeting except you. I'm here for you and for your people. The minute you commit that to the Lord, all of a sudden his strength becomes yours. And the weariness and the thoughts and the exhaustion and the fatigue and the trials and the stress and the pressures of your life melt away because there's nothing more important. And so you go and you come, and all of a sudden there's a refreshing from the presence of the Lord. What's the second reason that we gather here? Because we want to praise him. Not because of what he's done, but because of who he is. What he does for us comes out of who he is. We can't get those things reversed. We can't praise him for, oh, thank you for the car. Yeah, thank you, God, for the car. But it's because of who you are that I praise you. Cars don't come to us without the goodness of God, without God being who he is. So I want to praise you, God, for who you are, even if you didn't give me the car, right? Because you're worthy to be praised. And that's the first, you know, when that happens, it realigns you. All of a sudden, all of your issues fall away and you get centered again. Your life becomes one that's on course with him. So we come because we praise him. What's the third thing we should expect when we get here? God is not at a distance. He's present. So what does he do? He interacts with us like he did this morning. Wasn't it good to hear God through other people? We can, you know what? Every person needs to know God for themselves, but nobody can know God all by themselves. We learn God through each other because he dwells in all of us. And his expressions through us, the individualness that we share with each other, just absolutely improve the overall understanding of God. We actually learn from each other. I listen to people's prayers because in their praying, I know something more about them. And I know something about how they're interacting with God and what God is using them for. How he's birthed something in their hearts that I need to hear. The same is true if somebody prophesies. Whatever. I love it. Those are precious things. So I love the divine interaction. Don't you love it? It's exciting. It's the unexpectedness of God, the surprise, the suddenly of God is precious. I don't want to come here and follow routines. I come here because there's something extraordinary about us when we gather together. The presence of God. He's directing, leading, filling, guiding, loving, healing, showing, telling all of us through all of us. Fourth reason is we get a chance to express our love to one another. We don't get that enough, do we? This is a short moment in our week when we come together where we can love one another. And through our love, let the Holy Spirit move in supernatural gifts. If you come here looking to exercise your ministry, you've come here for the wrong reason. If you come here for the body, God will exercise ministry through you to each other. But if you're hunting around looking for, maybe I could do this, maybe I've got a word for somebody, your attitude is out of place. You need to come for each other. God, I come to serve my brothers and my sisters. I love them. I love their faces. I want to be with them. And maybe God will give you nothing for them, but they may have something for you. But we should always come with the expectation that either we can serve or be served, or both, that we will serve and be served by one another. That's how we grow. That's how the body is built up. If people just come to be served, well, I hope I get a word. I hope somebody has a word for me. I hope somebody prays with me. Wow, who wants to live on that level forever? If you come with an attitude that maybe God will use me today, I'm available, I'm your servant, it's a much better way to come. Fifth, I love the prayers. We don't pray enough. I don't believe there are many congregations that pray enough. We pray some, but we don't pray enough. The kingdom of God comes to us through prayer. The more we pray, the more the kingdom reveals itself in us. Jesus taught us that. He said, pray, the kingdom come. He didn't mean some huge, ethereal thing that will drop out of heaven. He meant the day-to-day expression of the kingdom of God here on earth. Let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. So that's the foundation of our prayers. God, more of your kingdom. In me, in us, in the world, we need to pray more. We must pray more. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus right now that the body of Christ become a people of prayer. Grand in their praying. Glorious in their praying. Great in the answers of prayers. People who move heaven and earth because they pray. People who see salvations because they pray. People who pray see changes in the earth. People who don't pray live without changes. Teach us, O Lord, as a church to become more prayerful. We need to pray. We need to devote more time to prayer. Spontaneous prayer. Prayer that you authorize. Prayers that you authorize are the ones you answer. The thoughts you give us, the things you want us to pray for, that we pray back to you are the ones that get answered. Because we pray according to your will. Show us that more and more, God, both privately and corporately. We ask in Jesus' name. Six, we want to equip each other to teach and equip and to strengthen one another so all of us become more effective in ministry, more effective in our personal walks. If you can leave this building today having been edified, taught, instructed, effectually changed and feel that you have grown a notch, a bit, then the meeting is successful in another dimension. It has equipped you. We should think entirely about that. Not just, I want a word to get me through the next 6 days, but to change me for life. And we should have that attitude. And the last thing I want to say is this. I love to see your faces. Don't you love to see each other? The minute you see somebody that you haven't seen in a week or maybe a couple of weeks, what happens? They light you up. They bring a smile. You have thoughts about them. They mean something. They carry God with them. They have something of value. There's a memory. You think of them in fond ways. You want to love them, pray for them, talk to them. And that's what fellowship is all about. It's this mutual sharing of the life of Christ. When we don't think about each other, we become islands, disassociated from each other. But we come here not for God alone, but for God's people too. And when we see each other, I'm always delighted. Even when somebody comes to me, the first thing out of their mouth is, I got this problem. That's okay, I'll listen to you. But people are more than a problem. People are full of things, full of life. I look at Brigida right now, and I have a lot of good thoughts about her. They just rush back to me. I think of her and I say, what a faithful woman. She doesn't think highly of herself, but she runs a great house church. Doesn't she? I think of that about her. I immediately feel to praise God for her. I think of Erica. Say, oh, Erica, you're amazing. How steadfast you have been. You have seen a lot of things change. You have been personally hurt and wounded and experienced things that you needed to overcome. But there you are. You're a testimony to me. If we just see people as just, you know, an object in our way and want to go on about our selfish lives, we're missing out greatly. Yeah, Winifred, I look at you. And you know what I think about? I think about, oh my gosh, that woman's gone through so many trials and she is the most faithful. Have you ever heard Winifred pray? Those of you who are not there on Wednesday nights at prayer meetings, if you haven't heard Winifred pray, you've missed out on something. She can pray. Oh my God, the depths of her prayers. When she prays, I'm moved. She surveys everything about God, about what he's done, where he is, what he's doing, what's happening. And she appeals to him in the fondest, most tender ways that touch me. And I could go on and on. And if we don't mean these things to one another, then what are we doing here? You know what I'm saying? What part of the body is lesser than any other part of the body? I was talking with another pastor this week. I spend time ministering and talking and listening with other pastors, and I sense this constant need to approve themselves, their ministries, the size of their congregations, what they're doing. And we were talking about how many are promoting themselves all the time. And I said to him, tell me something. What part of the body of Christ is better than any other part of the body of Christ? Tell me. We are one huge, enormous body that is congregated in small bodies. What part of the body of Christ is superior to any other body of Christ? Why would we promote ourselves at the expense of somebody else? How do we lift ourselves up? Do we say we have no need for each other? What does it say in 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14 about the gifts of the Spirit? That analogy is about us personally, who we are and what we are to each other. And when we finally come to a place where we esteem each other better than ourselves, at least equal to ourselves, and value each other, oh my gosh, what a difference it will make in how the body functions and how God uses us when we come to that place. Would you not agree with that? Each of us has been given grace according to the measure of Christ. I need what God has put in you, and vice versa. We need each other. That's how we've been compacted together. When we no longer think of each other as important to us, we're cutting off valuable sources of Christ to us. So let's pray this morning. We're going to leave here renewed in our lives, in our hope, in our faith with God and each other. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, again, for the way you have ministered to us through us. We bless your holy name. Today, lift your children up. Raise them up into their understanding of who they are in you. Reveal to them all the truth of what you say they are. Show them that your grace is sufficient in their lives and is making them the perfect people that you want them to be. Everyone valuable, necessary, essential. Help us to see this, God. Continue to work in us as you have. We love you for it. We love Jesus who lives in us by the Holy Spirit. We honor him today. As we sang, you are our story. You are our story, Jesus. We bless your holy name and give you praise for it. Amen. Amen.